God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our Gospel reading from John chapter 8, beginning with the 31st verse. But before we get into our text, the reason why the colors of the church have changed is today is a minor festival. It's a day in which we celebrate Reformation, the Reformation Day, that day in which Martin Luther took 95 theses or statements that he wanted to sort of question the church, maybe do a little bit of correction with the church, and posted them on the church door in Wittenberg. Now, I will admit, if someone nailed 95 theses to our church door, we might be a little miffed. But back then, they had wooden church doors, and also that was the place for important announcements. These theses were designed for the church to take a good look at itself. Today's text from John chapter 8, 31 through 36, presents that same theme that Luther wanted the church to understand. There needed to be some correction in the church. And so Luther posted the 95 theses. That correction was basically dealing with the forgiveness of sins. Do you have the forgiveness of sins? Do you have it completely? Or is there something you have to do to gain or acquire the forgiveness of sins? That message was what was really at debate with the Reformation. So as we get into our text and we talk about the freedom that we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed, we have to ask ourselves, are we free people? Now, if I would ask you when you woke up this morning, did you wake up feeling like you were the opposite of free, a slave? Most of us would probably sit there and say, Pastor, how can we be a slave living in the land, the United States of America, which is a free country? This sounds like a funny question, but the reality is there are at times in our lives, even while we live in this free country, that we're actually slaves. We're slaves to our community, slaves to the workplace, slaves to our own family, and yes, even slaves to our own self. Now notice what happens in our text. When Jesus puts this concept before the Jews who had believed in him, as our text says, not the Jews who were scoffing him, not the Jews who were mocking him, but the Jews who had believed in him, when he puts this concept before them, they get defensive. They start getting defensive and saying, you know, we're Abraham's descendants. We're not slaves of anyone. They even forgot their own history. They forgot about the Babylonian captivity. They forgot how they were slaves in Egypt. They forgot how they were still under Roman occupation at that time. They were in denial. We may say that we're not slaves because we live in a free country. But Jesus answers by saying, we are slaves. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And this is the freedom that Jesus is talking about. But first of all, let's take a look at what kind of sins and how are we enslaved. Let's put it this way. As Christians, we're told we need to forgive. We need to love others. Okay, how well do you do at forgiving others? How well do you do at loving others? Maybe I should ask another question. How well do you even forgive yourself? What haunts your dreams? What holds you captive? What sort of captures you and inhibits you from doing the things you want to do? Very often, if we take a good look at our own self, we may find that it is related to some sort of sin or some other type of fear. Maybe a fear of losing something very precious to us. Maybe a fear of losing our reputation or a fear of losing our family. And the reason why I wanted to bring up those two particular issues, did you catch our opening hymn? A mighty fortress is our God. And what it says in the fourth stanza of that hymn. God's word forever shall abide, no thanks to foes who fear it. For God himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. And now Luther changes a little bit of a direction here. He begs the question, were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away? We fear losing those things sometimes, and that fear enslaves us. Notice Luther's response. Even if they do take away our house, goods, honors, child, or spouse, and our very life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever. Martin Luther had it right. The problem is, in today's society, we enslave ourselves with our homes, goods, honors, child, and spouse. We enslave ourselves even with our very own life. The truth is, we are slaves to sin. Whether we want to admit it or not, whether we're like the Jews who are trying to deny that sin has that kind of grip on our lives and enslaves us, we are enslaved to that sin. Let me pick up another Bible passage from Romans chapter 7, beginning with the 15th verse. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Paul writes for us, he says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Paul here very clearly notes the sin that is within him is holding him captive. He's doing things he doesn't want to do. Is that not being a slave? Is that not being manipulated into doing something you don't want to do? I would call that slavery. So can we be slaves in our free country? The answer is yes. Unfortunately, sin is still within us. We are slaves to our pride, slaves to our anger, and even slaves to our own mind. We don't want to forgive others, and it seems at times we can't even forgive our own self. As Paul states, I don't do the good I want to do. Our sin and other sins of people from outside of us keep haunting us. Our own inability slows us down, enslaves us. Our own fears, our own sinfulness takes over, to which we are enslaved. Even our own inward thinking and only focusing upon ourselves, we are a slave to. So now, where does this leave us? The reason why Jesus had to make this point to the Jews, and also for us today, is we need to realize that we are slaves to sin in order for what? In order for the last few verses of our text for today to make any sense, that the Son sets us free, because if we do not picture ourselves being slaves to sin, what good is being freed? If we're living in the land of freedom, in the back of our mind, why would we want to move to another land of freedom? That's the thinking Jesus is challenging. He's saying, we're not free. We're slaves to sin. I will set you free. Do you believe that? Do you cherish that? Do you hang on to that with your heart, your soul, and with all your might? The truth is that the Son does set us free. It is in His death and His resurrection that He frees us from our own sins. He frees us from the devil who accuses us of being a sinner, and frees us from eternal death and gives us eternal life. Jesus sets us free. Martin Luther, in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, starts off by saying, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Why does Luther start off the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed with this? Because he understands his own sinfulness, and that sin enslaves us. We can't save ourselves because we are a slave. If we could possibly save ourselves, then we wouldn't be a slave, and we would have no need for the person and work of Jesus the Christ. We can't do it. We have to realize, we have to admit, regardless of how much denial is going on in our lives, we have to realize that it is Jesus who sets us free. But unfortunately, our sinful nature kicks in again and thinks that we are not all that bad. We can find other people in today's world that seem to be worse citizens, worse employees, worse family members than we are. And we start doing this comparison game. No. When we do that kind of comparison game, we've just enslaved ourselves again. We are sinners. The answer is, yes, we are sinners. The problem is, we don't want to believe it. We might want to think, there's got to be some good within me. I can't be 100% bad, 100% enslaved to sin. There's got to be some good. Aren't there worse people who are worse sinners than I am? And the answer is, from God's point of view, no. If you are a sinner, you are enslaved in sin. You're stuck. But God doesn't leave us stuck. He says in the last verse of our text, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That's the solution. The Son sets us free. That's the answer. This freedom is 100% of the Son's work. I cannot free myself. Jesus must be the one who frees me. It is 100% of the person and work of Jesus the Christ. He is the truth. He is the one who sets us free. The problem is, we don't want to believe it. Why don't we want to believe it? Because we want some control. We want to do it ourselves. We live in a world that doesn't want to hear the truth. That yes, when Jesus died on the cross, he freed us completely. Why do I want to say we live in a world that doesn't want to hear the truth? Well, this was the message that Martin Luther was fighting in the Reformation. The church at that time was taking this gift of God, the forgiveness of sins, and starting to make people work for it. Either by the giving of money, the doing of good works, some work in order to merit that forgiveness of sin. The truth is, if we have been declared free by John chapter 8, verse 36, as Jesus says we have been declared free, then we are free indeed. 100% by the person and work of Jesus the Christ. Unfortunately, St. Paul reminds us that we don't always like to go there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with the third verse, Paul reminds Timothy and us, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Paul was right. We don't want to hear the truth. We want to think that we can do it ourselves, accomplish our own goals. One way of taking a look at this concept again is in our upcoming elections. We know in a few days, as Americans, we'll be going to the polls. We'll be voting for leaders, either retaining the old or putting new people in. And it's interesting, in some of the debates that I've kind of caught a little bit here and there, I see very often two candidates accusing the other person of lying, with the implication that they're telling the truth. It's interesting. Why is our world attracted to that kind of thinking? Because our world is so focused upon the here and the now. We're enslaved to it. But what would happen if a candidate came forward? Say, I wanted to run for president of the United States. And I would say, let me just be truthful with you. 100% truthful. I don't think I can fix the economy. I might be able to help out here and there, but I also may make some mistakes. I don't think I can fix health care. I might get some things right, but I might screw up some other things for other people. The educational system, well, it's nice. I might be able to make some improvements, but I'm going to offend some people along the way. I'll make some people happy, but offend others. 100% truthful, 100% honest. How many votes do you think I will get? I'm figuring I'll get 2. My mother and myself. That's about it. Now, I will admit, at the early service, a couple of people said to me on the way out, "Don't worry, Pastor, I'd vote for you, I'd vote for you," and I reminded them that I wouldn't be your pastor anymore. Are you just looking at trying to get rid of me? No. They were trying to get to the concept of, we really would like someone who would be truthful and honest with us. Tell it the way it is. Why the lying? Why the deception? Why the manipulation? And the reason why the lying and the deception and the manipulation that occurs at some times is because our original sinful nature understands that manipulation. There's no such thing as a free gift in today's world. There's always got to be some strings attached. Or have you ever heard the phrase, "If you really love me, you will do such and such and such and such"? Oh, we love manipulation. There are strings attached. We don't understand what pure truth is, that pure gift that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is the forgiveness of sins. It's been earned in merit for you upon Jesus when He died upon the cross. Jesus takes away God's wrath. You are now free. You can't do it yourself. The Son sets us free. Now that we've been free, is there a response to our freedom? Well, you would ask a slave, once a slave has been set free, what would the slave's reaction would be? Would probably be filled with joy. We'd be jumping up and down and saying, "Yes, I've been set free." Then why, when we hear this message of the freedom of the forgiveness of sins through the person and work of Jesus Christ, we're not jumping up and down. We're sitting there like good Lutherans, sitting in our pews. Unfortunately, our sinful nature kicks in. We don't get overly that excited about the forgiveness of sins anymore. Now we have to go back to the beginning of our text, because Jesus then has a challenge for us. His opening words in our text, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." If we've been set free, why do we need to continue to hold to his teaching? That almost sounds like the string got attached, but it's not. It's just a reaffirmation of the truth. You have been set free by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but your sinful nature wants to enslave you again. Don't you want to be free? How can you be certain that you're going to be maintaining that freedom when the world around you wants to enslave you, where your own nature wants to enslave you again? And the answer is, go back to God's Word. Abide in His teaching. Hold on to it. Why? Because in His teaching, in His Word, you find that freedom. We remain in Him because He frees us. We remain in Him because we can't save ourselves. We remain in Him because He offers Himself without any strings attached. It is a free gift. We remain in Him because it is in Him there is love without any manipulation. We remain in Him because He alone is the only one who brings eternal life. The truth of the Reformation is the Son has set us free. Luther was battling with the church who was enslaving people, paying for the forgiveness of sins, instead of proclaiming that forgiveness of sins is a free gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to hang on to God's Word. That's what Luther was trying to do. Not to start another branch of Christianity, not to rebel against the Christian church, but to get the church back to God's Word and the freedom that Jesus Christ gives to us. We have been set free because the Son says you are set free. And if the Son says we are free, we are free indeed. This is the message of the Reformation. This is the message the church should be teaching. This is the message we should be living each and every day. The truth is, we are free. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.